So has everyone been practicing being a light? Remember, that's what we talked about last week, that everywhere you go, you're a light. You bring Jesus and his light into the darkness. And we said that we were going to work at this coming year, and we can start in December, at trying to be more real with each other. If we didn't have a great week, you're free to tell somebody you didn't have a great week. Amen. Woo-hoo! So we're going to work on that. I was a little vulnerable, which does not come easy to me. So I said to Pastor Kurt this week, I hope I didn't scare anybody. He said, well, I don't think you did. I don't think you did. So hopefully I didn't scare you to think that your pastor actually has struggles. Maybe you thought he never did, so I'm sorry to burst that bubble. So we just had Thanksgiving. And you know, on Thanksgiving Day, the idea is to give thanks. But I know for me, it's way too busy of a day to think about that.
I'm thankful.
There you go. So we're going to use today for that. Because I don't know about you, but we put the turkey in the night before. I got up at 3 a.m. and turned it up. And then I got up at 6 a.m. and checked on it and turned it up again. And then we took all the food and went to where we were having Thanksgiving and continued to cook. You know, so by the end of the day, I didn't really have a lot of energy left to be thankful. So I thought today we can just slow down a little bit. And we can be thankful today. So that's what I want you to think about throughout the service. And that's why we're going to do worship second, because we're going to worship with a heart of gratitude. I think that sounds great. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So I've been through the South just a little bit. The southern boy over here has probably actually seen a plantation. I've never seen a plantation, but even having seen pictures of them, which I did, they do not compare to the estates in England. Stacy and I got to go over to England this summer. I'm Scottish background, and so we traveled up to Scotland and then drove back down to England. But we actually visited some English estates. That was so interesting. You know, we think something is old here if it's 100 years old. They think something's old if it's 400 years old. You know, their history just goes back and back and back. And so when you go see these estates, to think that somebody actually lived in that estate as their family home is just amazing. We stayed the first night in a hunting lodge in Nottingham. And it had 36 bedrooms. 36 bedrooms. They almost all had baths. There was a conservatory. I never heard of that except in the game Clue. And there were gardens. And there were, I mean, yes, it was old. And part of it was falling down, you know, because this was one that actually one of the kings of England came to this Duke's hunting lodge and hunted in Nottingham Forest, Sherwood Forest in Nottingham. And so I'm saying all this to say, when I used to read this verse, enter his gates with thanksgiving, I was picturing the kind of gates that maybe we'd have in a backyard to fence in the dog and you open the gate and close the gate. I was not picturing an estate. I have a whole different picture now. Because when you entered these estates, they swung open these monstrous gates with pillars and stones and walls, and then you were there on the estate. You could visit the gardens and the lake. And all of that. So it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. We're entering the place where he dwells. We're invited in, and how we get those gates to open is thanksgiving. And into his courtyards with praise. So when we praise him, we're even drawing closer. now we're not just looking at this mansion with all of these rooms and gardens and everything, but we're now entering into the courtyard, to the garden, to the patio, to the picnic table. And so that's how intimate he wants us to get with him. But it all starts with thanksgiving him. Thanksgiving. So when you think about giving somebody something, so let's think about that. Let's say I had a couple things around my house that I wanted to come this morning and give to Nancy. What would I have to do? I'd have to gather them up. Maybe I told Nancy I'd supply vegetables for Thanksgiving. So I'd have to go and get a can of this and a can of that and put it in a basket. So I gather it up. I would have to carry it to church. Now I have it in a basket. What do I do with it? I have to actually present it to her. So the picture I had today was that we're going to gather up our thanks. We're going to gather up the things we're grateful for. We're going to put them all in a basket, and then during worship, we're going to hand them up to Jesus. So I want to remind you today of some things that we have to be thankful for, and then you get to gather all those up and hand them to him. So be thinking about that throughout the sermon today. So now I need my phone. So when we say that we're thankful, do you realize in English, we like to shorten words. We take phrases and we shorten them. We say thankful, meaning full of thanks. Okay? Thankful just doesn't mean you think of one thing to give thanks for. It means you're actually full of thanks. So what would it look like today if you were actually filled up with gratefulness and thanksgiving? Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness to every generation. Did you catch right there the clue of some things that we can be thankful for? His unfailing love continues forever and his faithfulness to every generation. Colossians 3:12-15. This is giving us a broad picture of what the Christian life should look like. And so as those who have been chosen of God. Oh wait, that's something to be thankful for. Are you gathering them up to present to him? Holy and beloved. Wait a minute. God calls you holy and beloved? Something else to be thankful for. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another. Wait, do we sometimes have to bear with one another? Do you realize that means cheerfully putting up with one another? I know that doesn't ever happen to you. It happens at our house, and it's usually somebody else who has to put on the putting up with. Alrighty, now I lost my place. Okay. Forgiving each other. Do we have to work at that one? Yeah, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone. What? So that means before you complain about somebody, because they did something, said something, didn't do something, didn't say something. Choose to forgive. Why? Just as the Lord forgave you, so should you. Ooh. Above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Who's thankful for the peace of Christ? So I have a pastor friend, his name's John Dreyer. He was here a couple years ago. He's the pastor down at Community Gospel in Baltimore, where Paul Butler previously was the pastor. He put on Facebook, Thanksgiving morning, he was in the ER. He was having heart issues. And he was supposed to have a catheterization and then some stents and come home. He's still in the hospital. His condition was a little worse than they thought. And so they told him yesterday he was going to a university hospital and they would take care of him. They didn't have a bed. They still don't have a bed. And so I sent him a message saying that I was praying that the peace of Christ, the peace that passes all understanding, would be with him. Who wants to lay there for 5 days wanting something to be done and it's still not done? So if you think of him, you can keep him in prayer. To which indeed you were called to one body. Now watch this. And then finally be... Nobody's following along. I'm surprised. Be thankful. Be thankful. So what are some things we have to be thankful for? We have a lot to be thankful for. A couple categories, because I want you to start thinking of the things you're thankful for and gathering them up. All that God has already done for you and I. See, if we don't go back and rehearse that, we forget. I do. And then when I finally have a quiet time, which for me doesn't happen all that often, I do my devotions, but I mean an extended quiet time, I actually stop and think about, oh my, that situation, and that situation, and that situation. God was faithful. So think back about what He's done in the past. I've been here enough at Christian Life that I know some of those things for some of you. When we were there together and God showed up and was faithful and helped you through situations. Don't forget. Second thing. He loves us and made us a part of His family. Come on. Come on. Are you grateful for that? Number three. Father God sent Jesus. And all that that means. Come on. Number four. Jesus came. He chose. He obeyed the Father. Willingly laid down His life so that you could be forgiven, redeemed, and reconciled. Now that should get one of Pastor Kurt's whoop whoops. Come on. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's gone ahead of you and prepared a place. You've been forgiven, redeemed, and reconciled. I'd say that's something to grab and put in the grateful basket today. Number five, all that God is currently doing in your life, even if you can't see it. He says He's always with us. He never, ever leaves us to be alone. Come on. Never. Regardless of what our feelings are telling us, regardless of the situation we're going through, the storm never ever leaves us. He encourages us, strengthens us, provides for us, heals and delivers us. Come on, can you grab a couple of those to put in the basket? And then number six, all that He's going to do in us and through us. All of that. So I want us to look at and consider some examples from the scriptures of people who were thankful. And how they did or did not put things in their grateful basket. How about the entire nation of Israel? They were freed from years of slavery and taken care of in the desert. But you know what? Instead of making it a statement, I'll ask you, because questions make you think and respond. Did they have to work at being grateful? They did. And they didn't always do a great job. We're going to look at that in a minute. They had the tendency to forget what God had done for them and how He was presently protecting them. Do you realize that while they were out in this wilderness, in this desert, every day they had a cloud above them to keep them from being scorched? You know, they didn't have SPF 85 or 185. And so God provided a cloud. And at night in the desert, it got very cold. And He had a fire to keep them warm and protect them. And they forgot to be grateful. He provided for them both manna and water. So what happens when we forget what God has done for us in the past? We start to do exactly what they did. Grumble and complain. So it's very important to go back and remind ourselves what He has done. So we're going to be in Exodus 15 for a little bit. Those that like to follow along. Exodus 15. So remember, they were out there in the desert fleeing from Egypt, and they got to the Red Sea, and they saw the army coming. God opened the Red Sea. They went across as if it was dry land. No mud, no slippery rocks. Walked through to the other side. The army got out in the middle, and what happened? God released the water, and they got drowned. So they started to sing a song. They were grateful. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. See, we can sing some songs of gratefulness. I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and the rider He hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength. Is He your strength? And song. Is He your song? He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will extol Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army He cast into the sea. The choicest of the officers were drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depth like a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of Thy excellence, Thou hast overthrown those who rise up against Thee. Verse 11. Who is like Thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like Thee, majestic in holiness? Awesome in praises, working wonders. Some things to be grateful for. Verse 13. In Thy loving kindness, Thou hast led the people whom You have redeemed. Now, 3 days, 3 days after this. So think about this marvelous victory. It was miraculous what God did. And the whole nation is singing songs. Yay, God's wonderful. He's great. He's awesome. Nobody like You, Lord. Okay? Sunday morning. Now we're Wednesday. Wednesday. Same chapter. Verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness. They went 3 days and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters because they were bitter. 24. So the people grumbled at Moses. What shall we drink? 3 days after that miracle, grumbled. They cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. He threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. Maybe they should have said, God, what are you going to do in this situation? Like you just did a miracle for us, instead of grumbling against Moses. Okay? A couple days later, verse 27, look where they found themselves. Then they came to Elim. This is where Elim Fellowship and Elim Bible Institute gets their name from. What is it? A couple days later, there were 12 springs of water. After all that grumbling, we don't have any water. Moses, why'd you bring us here where there's no water? We're going to die in the desert. 12 springs of water, 70 date palm trees. That's a lot of palms. And they camped there beside the water. So they were refreshed. They were fed. They had plenty of water to drink. Okay? Now, do you know the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses? Okay? A book was a whole book. It just was start to finish. But if I wanted to tell you to turn to page 34, paragraph 5a, that would be difficult. So somebody put it in chapters for us. But if you start there at chapter 16, they set out from Elim. Same story. Okay? So we're just continuing the chapter. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came into the wilderness, and on the 15th day of the second month after their departure, verse 2, the whole congregation grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Now wait a minute. Miracle, grumble. Miracle, grumble. Whenever you don't remember God's faithfulness, and you're not grateful, we grumble. We just do. And the sons of Israel said, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt. Whoa! Whoa! We'd rather be dead than hungry? That was grumbling. Remember we sat by pots of meat? Well, yeah, that's after you made bricks all day out in the scorching sun with straw and mud. Then you were given something to eat. We had bread, and you brought us out here to this wilderness to kill us with hunger. We followed you, and look where you brought us. We are not happy. And what did God do? He said, I will give you bread from heaven. Huh? Something that never happened before. Something they never expected. I would have thought they would have found flour or something they could have kept cooking with. But God said, no, I'm going to miraculously provide food for you every day. And he did that for a week, a month, a year, who knows? 40 years. God miraculously provided food for them every day, every morning. Let's be people of gratefulness. Let's remember and be thankful for what God's done. See, it's always a choice. We can either, and I'm speaking to me, okay? So, being real, we can look at what we have, or we can focus on what we don't have. So, Sunday mornings, I notice everybody that's here. I'm thankful for everybody that's here, but I also make a mental note of every single person not here, and I mention it to Stacy on the way home. They weren't here. See? What am I focusing on? Am I thankful for what I have, or am I focused on what I don't have and grumble? We all have that choice. The Israelites could be focusing on, we're here in the wilderness, God provided water for us, God provided manna for us, we're on the way to the promised land, but today I'm hungry, so I'm grumbling and complaining, and I'd rather be back in Egypt in slavery. Come on. Your focus is either here and there, or your focus is back there and mumbling and complaining. Yeah. So that was the one example. The other one I want us to think about is David. So David had some wonderful experiences in his life. He had a lot of really terrible ones as well. And he had a choice. Which does he focus on? So let's think about a couple of these. He had difficult trials and seasons of sorrow and depression. How do I know? Because the Psalms tell us. He says, I was in a pit, a deep pit. So, he's a young man, young kid, teenager maybe. He was assigned to watch and protect the sheep. Nobody else in the family got that duty. It was always the youngest. And it was considered the worst duty of the family, the worst assignment. He's out there doing that, and a lion shows up. Well, I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know that I'd want a big dog to show up when I'm out there by myself, baring his teeth and threatening to attack me. It's good I had a rod to smack him over the head with, but I don't know about a lion. I think I would have ran home. I don't know about you. You might have fought the lion. So then another day he's out there watching the sheep, and a bear shows up. Okay, a little bigger than a lion. A little more ferocious than a lion. So then Dad says, hey, you're the youngest dude. Why don't you take an errand and some food to your brothers who are soldiers? So now he's an errand boy, and he packs up the food. He goes, what's he find? The entire nation is hiding in fear because of a giant. That would shake up your day a little bit. And then you decide, as a teenager, even the whole army is afraid because God helped you with the lion, God helped you with the bear, you and God are going to take care of the giant. What? Now, come on. Is that a normal life experience? That you wake up in the morning, and at lunchtime when you show up at your brother's house, there's a giant that you have to fight to get in the door. Yeah, not what I would expect my day to be like. Then he gets assigned to faithfully serve the king, and the king is jealous and tries to kill him. Wow, this is a wonderful life I'm having. I thought serving the king would be a pretty good thing until he tries to kill me. Then he gets anointed king. Yay! I got a new position in the church. I'm the associate pastor now. How exciting is that? And then you spend years running for your life, hiding in the desert, living with your enemies, pretending to be mad. That was an exciting position to get, wasn't it? Think about his life. While he was doing that, King Saul gave his wife to somebody else. I was married. The king gave my wife away. Yay. Then he was out doing battle, and an enemy came, raided his hometown, and took captive everything and everyone. Who wants to volunteer for his life? Let's read this. I'm going somewhere, folks. I'm not trying to depress you. I am going somewhere. All right, 1 Samuel 30. And when David and his men came to the city, their hometown, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. David's two wives had been taken captive. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. God strengthened him and his soldiers, and they went and captured everything and everybody and brought them all back. It said nothing was lost. So I could give you some more examples of his trials or of his successes, but I wanted to point out that we all have a choice. Do we focus on our struggles, which I tend to do, or do we focus on what we do have? Job, a house, food, family, friends, church. And are we grateful for those things? So David wrote a lot about giving thanks. And I just want to look at four of those. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all his wonders. I will be glad and exalt in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. I will thank the Lord with all my heart. See, is our heart divided? Or are we giving God thanks with all of our heart? Choice. Choice. So as we've been talking this morning, have you been thinking about some things that you're thankful for? Are you putting together that basket of items to give to the Lord? That was Psalms 9. Psalms 18. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. Has he been your rock? My fortress. Has he been your fortress? My deliverer. Has he been your deliverer? My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield. And the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. Is he worthy to be praised? Has he saved you from your enemies? He delivers me from my enemies, and surely he lifts me above those who would rise against me. He rescues me from the violent. Therefore, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to thy name. Praises to thy name. Do you realize that psalm means song, S-O-N-G? So these were all meant to be sung so we can sing of our thanks and our praise. Okay, two more, and then I'm done. Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I can remember and I can recite times when he was my strength. Can you? When you felt like you had no strength, he was your strength. When you felt like you couldn't get up, he lifted you up. When you felt like you didn't want to stand up, he helped you stand up. When you felt like you couldn't go forward, he helped you move forward. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. When we place our trust in Him, we are helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song, I will thank Him. Last one, Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing, and thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. If we allow Him to, we can take mourning and sadness, and we can actually take it off like clothes and drop it. He can turn around our mourning and turn it into dancing. That's a big change. He can take off our sackcloth and cover us with gladness.